Today, we've got some friends gathered around for some music and fun conversation, including Mark Lowry, Jeff, and Sherry Easter, and Bill Gaither for the hour.
Welcome to Daniel Britt and Friends, an hour of good music and fun conversations featuring gospel music's brightest new artists, as well as legendary tributes and memories from its past. Now, here is Daniel Britt.
Well, it's good to have friends. It's good to have friends who are talented and bring forth the message in song, the message of the gospel of Christ. And we're going to talk to Jeff and Sherry Easter a little later. Also later in the show, Bill Gaither will be here. Right now, let's jumpstart things with funny man, Mark Lowry. Well, Mark, you, I feel like, are getting up earlier as you get older. Is this true?
Oh, no doubt about that, yeah. Don't you think, well, you're not old yet. How old are you, Daniel?
I'm 32.
Are you serious? You know, I haven't noticed it that much. I mean, I do get up earlier when I'm home, but when I'm on the road, I take advantage of having nothing to do during the day, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Lay around and rest up. I do find I'm having to really rest up for the concerts nowadays. I can't just run all day and then get up and do a concert.
I know your road manager has told me, well, Mark has to have his nap, so we're not going to bother
him. Oh, you're
him
not
right
kidding.
Now.
Lord's Song made sure I got my nap. They could tell the difference.
Well, I hope you're well rested and ready for the hour that's ahead of us with Mark Lowry kicking things off. And I like this one, What You Need, on Daniel Britt and Friends.
Some people never get enough money, love, all the good stuff. Some people lose from having too much. Some people win by giving up and giving in. But what you need is what you get, and it might be the opposite of what you dream and what you plan. It's out of your hand. Yeah, what you need is what you get, and the story ain't over yet. If you thank God for what you got, it'll turn. Said I'm leaving my wife, can't stand her, I hate her. Then a wise friend said, make a list of the good things about her. He reads it every morning, now he can't live without her. What you need is what you get, and it might be the opposite of what you dream and what you plan, but it's out of your hand. Yeah, what you need is what you get, and the story ain't over yet. If you thank God, it'll turn into what you want. If it is what it is, and it doesn't change, might try changing our minds, 'cause most of the time, what you need is what you get, and it might be the opposite of what you dream and what you plan, but it's out of your hand. What you need is what you get, and the story ain't over yet. If you thank God for what you got, it'll turn into what you want. If you thank God for what you got, it'll turn into what you want. What you need is what you get.
Mark Lowry and What You Need, right here on Daniel Britt and Friends. Jeff and Sherry Easter coming up. Bill Gaither coming up. Conversation with Mark continues now. With all your travels, and you don't have kids, but you're like a big kid. So, I mean, here's the question. other than maybe the obvious one of like Disney World or Disneyland, where do you think kids must go on vacation? Like, it would
kids.
Not, yeah, kids. It would not be a complete childhood if it didn't include a trip to
the float down the Comal River in New Braunfels, Texas.
Ooh.
To me, that is childhood, because that's what we did every summer. My dad had a little house on the Comal River. And you can Google it.
Uh-huh.
It's a horseshoe. It's like a horseshoe river. It has a section that's like a horseshoe. So you would get in the river where you would get out, almost.
Huh.
It was strange. I mean, you'd walk. Well, you'd start in one spot. You'd float all, you know, about 2 or 3 hours around this horseshoe part of the river.
Mm-hmm.
And you'd come back a few hundred feet across the street from where you started. So you just walk across the street and get in again. And there were rapids. And to me, that's what I would think any kid would love.
That's cool.
And the rapids that won't kill you.
You know, I bought a canoe last weekend, Mark. And
why?
We went canoeing, and we want to create memories, you see.
Well, you better, because that's very important.
You're right.
Well, you know, kids also like boats with motors. Older you get, you're going to like a boat with a motor.
Okay.
That idea of paddling down the river, that might get a little old.
Mark, Bill Gaither went kicking and screaming into this world when you drug him into it. But the question is, do you put too much information online? Do you think as Americans or this new generation we're living in, that we feel guilty, we provide TMI, too much information, through Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, whatever?
That's a great question. I try not to, but do you think I do?
I will put it this way. In years past, if we wanted to know anything, we went to Mark Lowry's website and then whatever that meant. I overheard Dina and Bill talking, not necessarily about you, but just about how there's nothing left to the imagination anymore. There's no,
Bill would call it, there's no mystery.
There's no mystery, yes.
Or whatever, you know, and I think there is something to be said for that, but in this day and age, that's how people, you know, I went kicking and screaming into Facebook, and I'll tell you that.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
I had I was younger then when the websites came out, and I jumped on that with full enthusiasm. And then I saw Facebook come along, and I thought that. I thought, well, people are, you know, I don't care where you're eating lunch. You know, I don't care what you're going to get your laundry.
Uh-huh.
But I found out personally, when I got on Facebook, that there are a lot of great news sources, which I'm very interested in, and so it, you know, it's kind of become, I don't know, the news source for me. I find stuff out quicker on Facebook than I do on the news on TV, but I try not to put too much personal stuff up there, just because I don't think people care about, you know. Now, when I'm on the road and we stop at Waffle House.
Yeah, I
have been known to make a video.
Oh,
I'm thinking about doing a, you know, I talked last night to Bob Sauer, my manager, about doing a video of this tour, you know, because I think it's good enough to do a video, and use our iPhones for the B-roll, you know, start doing B-roll even now, collecting stuff of the tour, and I think that would be fascinating and you know, be very modern, because it's kind of like what we're doing on Facebook.
Yeah, exactly.
Isn't it amazing grace? Lord, I want to thank you, Lord, I'm saying that you come to where we are. Lord, I honor thank you that a king went far and far.
Mark Lowry, you're listening to Daniel Britton Friends. Loving your message, loving what you do and how you put the cookies on the lower shelf and have some good, profound things to say.
I'm just throwing profound stuff is still falling out every now and then.
Well, it comes with age, I think. People listen.
Yeah, I think it does, too.
Yeah.
I think, or what it does, I'm not sure I'm any wiser. I think that people will listen the older you get.
It's true. I've noticed that.
Listen more.
My whole life, it's been my problem, see. I knew this from a young age. I was like, I'm just not old enough yet. They won't listen to me.
That's right. Well, you know, what I used to get whipped for doing in church, I get paid to do.
I was once told, listen, don't be timid behind the microphone. Your voice carries authority. So there.
That's true.
Now, here's the deal. You love food. We all love food. I've been on this, I've understood this now for a little while. I've been ranting about it on the air. When you go out to a restaurant, Mark, have you ever been someplace where just everyone ordered a salad and then you felt guilty for not ordering a salad? Or everybody's ordering like burgers, so you feel like you got to order some kind of sandwich when you really wanted like a pasta entree?
Oh, no. When it comes to food, I peer pressure is never interesting.
It's never there. Yeah.
No. I don't even care what anybody else is getting. I just get what I want. Very selfish when it comes to food. I carry no guilt about it.
Well, see, that's true with me, except for this reason. If we're at a new restaurant and it's one of these places that's just like, wow, this is an incredible choice of options, creative food, I feel like we can't all order the same thing. We've got to vary it up because we're going to taste it.
Well, that's so because do you share each other's plates?
Yes.
No, I do that. I will do that. When I go out with friends, if I see that Dana or Colleen or somebody's going to order something, I'll take out, I'll get something different just because we all taste each other's food.
Who's the most boring person that you know when it comes to ordering in restaurants? Like they order hamburgers at Mexican restaurants, stuff like that.
Stan Whitmire.
Really? Because
it's always going to be healthy. Going to get salmon and broccoli. Or if we go to McDonald's, he's going to get the, have to do a run through at McDonald's after a concert because we're starving.
Yeah.
He'll get the apples. They have apples at McDonald's. Who knew?
Yeah.
One of those baked chicken wraps. Healthy as you can get at McDonald's, he'll get it. But that's why he looks like that at 50, and I look like this at 56.
Unforgettable. That's what you are.
Unforgettable. Though near or far,
like a song of love that clings to me, how the thought of you does things to me never before. Has someone been more?
In every way,
and forevermore, that's how you'll stay.
That's how you'll stay.
That's why, darling, it's incredible. That I am unforgettable too.
MarkLowry.com. What more can we say? An unforgettable classics. That's a cool project.
Thank you. I think it's some of the best singing I've ever done on that project. Because you know what? Kevin Williams produced that. And he got everything in the sweet spot of my voice, which is about three notes. I don't have a big range of the sweet spot.
Wow.
But, and so I actually like my voice on that record. Now, I enjoy singing, but you know what? Here's the thing with my voice. I know that I've got to have songs that have meat on the bone. First of all, everybody should try to have those songs. They're hard to find, They're not a lot of songs written that every word carries its own weight.
Mm-hmm.
And when you find one, like I found one called How We Love that I'm going to be doing on my next project, because I just love it. It's an incredible lyric by Beth Nielsen Chapman. She wrote the song. And because I tell young people, you know what? If you have a 3-minute song that doesn't, it's just a filler. It's a waste of a song. And you have 1,000 people in the audience, you've wasted a lot. You take 3 minutes times 1,000.
Yeah.
And you've wasted a lot of time.
Yeah. Exactly.
I just love a great song.
I heard a term this week called JPM. How many you rate songs based on how many Jesus per minute, are in the song. So it's JPM.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so there's your new industry term for the day. But
yeah, I do love a song about Jesus. That's for sure.
Always fun to talk to Mark Lowry. Hey, coming up, we've got Bill Gaither and Jeff and Sherry Easter around the corner. You're listening to Daniel Britt and Friends.
I shall not
bear the cross through yon city. When the burdens of life are laid down, when I knock on the portals of heaven, I will trade the old cross for a crown. Yes, I will trade the old cross for a crown. When the burdens of life are laid down,
when the pearly gates for me shall swing open, times has been heavy and all fortune on me seems to frown, but how happy I'll be over yonder when I trade the old cross for a crown.
Daniel Britt and Friends with Mark Lowry as we close that chapter of this hour and move on now to Jeff Easter of Jeff and Sherry Easter. We'll talk to Sherry in a moment, but Jeff Easter is an amazing guy. I love his perspective on life. So let's have the next conversation, let's have the next few minutes set aside with Jeff. Jeff, if you woke up tomorrow and you had amnesia and you also have no mirror, you can't look at yourself, so you don't know what you look like. You have to just go based on the way you feel. How old does Jeff Easter think he feels?
I think I'm with my daddy. I'm around 35 to 40. Yeah, I don't really feel like, Nick. Sherry looked at me the other day. We're sitting there eating. She said, yeah, Jeff's next birthday, he'll be 55. I was born, my birthday's easy to keep up with. I was born in 1960.
Now, like the new iPhone has come out, the big giant one, the 6 Plus. And so are you excited about that? Like, is that like Reader's Digest large print for you?
Morgan went and bought the new six, but she didn't get the plus. She said it's a little too big. And Jared Stuffel's here, and he had the plus. And it is a pretty big, you know, you got to have a pretty big pocket to carry that thing around. But I don't have an iPad. You know, I got an iPhone 6. I'm an iPhone 5. So
yeah.
I may look at the plus, you know. But, yeah, I love, my eyes are so bad anymore. You know, my sunglasses have readers in them. Can't really see anything without readers. I just love, making things happen. And, you know, down to, we were having a big laugh last night. The Booth Brothers bus broke down. The computer got wet on the motor. A lot of people. So little Roy Lewis, Sherry's uncle, he's out in Branson last week. He said, he called me and he said, "Hey, look in here now. If I unplug that computer, will my motor still run?" No, little Roy, that controls all your injectors and everything. So, yeah, everything is, you got to know a little bit about computers, even to drive a bus these days.
What's been the most frustrating part of your job and just in the past 2 or 3 weeks? What's been the part where you have that little thought, the little devil on your shoulder comes over and says, why don't you just do something else? Go into vinyl repair.
Well, you know
something.
What? Now, it happened probably a year or so ago. I was driving, our bus had broken down, and Bill Gates had loaned me his bus because they were off for the weekend. And I was driving about a mile from the church, and all of a sudden, I lost all my air pressure, which means your brakes will lock up. So I got off the road real quick and all my air pressure. So I got off the bus, and, boy, I was so mad. I was, like, going to slam the door, and I thought, you know what? This is a test. We're going to see if you pass this test. So I just started in my inner spirit and just started thinking positive things. Anything will be, and I got back there, and sure enough, it was the main nut that screws on the air compressor just screwed loose. So I got me some gloves. I mean, it was hot. I tightened it back up, got my wrench out, tightened it down. And I got to church, and I started singing over and over again and again, God is faithful. Mm-hmm. And it got to that line that said, through every trial, each test and temptation.
Yeah.
And I've sang that song for 7 years, and I've never heard that word in that song.
Yeah.
Through every trial, each test and temptation. You know, and I'm like, that word jumped out at me that night. But that's probably, of course, we just blew an engine 1st of July, and we rode 2,000 miles. In a minivan, the 4th of July weekend, you know, that was, things just kept going one after another. Sherry was so tired after that trip, she snored, and I'm sure y'all saw it on Facebook, how tired she was. It made her laugh. She said, maybe it'll make somebody else laugh.
Facebook and texting and stuff like that, you know, when you have the moment where you're in the minivan and you're frustrated and it's hot and, you know, things aren't going your way, it's like at least you can have some immediate, consolation or something. Like, you immediately can let people know what's going on, and you can at least immediately get some feedback and some prayers and some encouragement.
Yep.
And I guess in the older days, you just had to buckle up and endure it, and then you had to wait to where you got where you were going to tell your story.
Well, it's just like this past weekend, the Taylor's bus broke down, and I was on Facebook. I just looked through and saw the back. Anytime I see a back end of a gospel group's bus on the side of the road, it's just, you know, there's a part of me that goes, we can fix that, you know?
Yeah.
So I called Chris Taylor and talked to him, and, you know, he let me know that his antifreeze hose had popped, you know, and he's asking my advice and stuff. And I'm just one of those kind of guys, you know, if you're driving a Ford or a Chevrolet or Mercedes or Lexus or a bus, Prevo, go back with the original parts. You know, when you try to put another part, like a truck part on a bus, you know, that don't always work because, like, pressures are different. You know, your antifreeze and your pressure, your engine on a bus is real high, so if you put a cheaper hose on there, it's going to blow it right back off, you know. So
it's,
this is stuff people need to know.
Well, it's making of a good song. I can hear it. Don't put your truck part on your bus. Well, you and Steve Weatherford ought to write like an encyclopedia, a Chilton's manual or something, you know.
My son, he's done as much as I have, I guarantee. I love watching it. There's a website called Bus Nuts. Of course, I got a 1948 Silverside bus that I'm restoring, just like the Lewis families and the Blackwoods and Statesman, they all traveled in the first bus. So that's a labor of love. It has no computer on it, Danny. So Little Roy could run that one without a computer.
Jeff Easter, Jeff and Sherry Easter, love their music, their heart, and of course the fun personality behind Jeff. And Sherry too. You're listening to Daniel Britt and Friends. More to come.
Every day.
Jeff and Sherry Easter here on Daniel Britt and Friends. Still to come, conversation continues with Bill Gaither later this hour. Now, you've had some changes. I know your son and daughter-in-law, Madison and Shannon, have been traveling with you, but now they're branching out on their own. Does that scare the snot out of you?
Well, no. I'm so supportive. And he'll come do some stuff with us.
Yeah.
What's funny, talking about Disney, we just got a contract 2 nights ago that Disney World Resorts booked us for 2016. So Madison called, the first thing he said is, I just quit too soon. Anyway, no, we're, as far as Jeff and Sherry, you know, we've been doing, this is our 30th anniversary. I mean, we are wide open. We got our brand new album. We're taking photos Tuesday, finishing up vocals, and record will be released on our anniversary date, June the 18th this year, for 30 years of music and marriage. So we're so excited about it.
That's cool. That's cool. Well, yeah, I just know that those who have walked the road, or maybe even in at your age, we might even say pave the way for the whippersnappers. You know, you kind of become legendary, you know, but you've seen some changes in the music industry, and some of some of that can, you know, we won't paint a rosy picture. It's not all glamorous the life that you've lived. So, I mean, that was the reason for my question, but I know he's got great talent and will go far, and Shannon too.
He does. And the same thing Sherry had to personally make in her decision, leaving the Lewis family, and then me with the Easter brothers. So we've been there, and we know how to support this kid. And I got the greatest text. He just texted me at 12:30 last night, just said, I love you, Dad. Don't need anything. Just want to tell you I love you. And I'm like, those little things like that. Listen, hey, Sherry's here. I know she wants to say hello.
Hey. Good morning, every last one of you.
Sherry.
How are
you? Good. I'm glad he put you on the line, because I have a question that
go for it.
I don't know that he would have been able to answer with as much accuracy as you, and that is, when you have a normal week and you're off the road, how often do you guys go to the grocery store in a typical week? Like, how many grocery trip runs do you think?
In a week? It's easier to tell you how many times do I go to the grocery store in a year. You know what's really funny? Seriously, we do. A lot of times we have to just grab our food wherever we are.
Yeah.
But when we get to be home for a stretch, and by a stretch I mean a Monday through Thursday, maybe even a Monday through Friday,
yeah,
I will usually go to the grocery store, and it can last me for a week to 2 weeks.
Okay. But you load up. Yeah.
I do. In fact, the last time we went to the grocery store, I ended up, because it was over the Christmas holidays. So you've got to account for, I've got to make food for this affair, I've got to make food for that one, and then I've got to have food to eat, and I've got to, you know, because we all had our little Christmas parties and stuff, so all of this was going on. Had two full buggies, and I looked at Jeff, and I said, don't even say thing. I get to the grocery store 5 times a year, so don't say a thing. My goodness, why did you buy so much? And I'm like, that's what it takes. Because of the way we live, you don't think as much about having to buy your meals out, because that's the norm for us.
Right.
Groceries are not the norm for us. So whenever you change that up, you start to see where your money's really going, you know?
Absolutely. Yeah, they say
y'all were talking about Madison.
Yeah.
I've been teasing him. I've been teasing him, saying, Madison, what you're actually doing is, you're going to work enough dates to pay for your riding habit.
That's right.
And he wants to ride. And anybody will tell you, when you're running 90 to nothing on the highways, it's hard to find inspiration. He's looking forward to slowing down just a little bit and doing some riding. But boy, he's already told us he's going to be at our homecoming, and he's going to be on a lot of special dates with us.
Great.
I'm looking forward to it.
Well, thank you, Sherry. It's good to hear from you. I'm glad you piped in there.
And I'm so glad you consulted me on what was important.
well, in all honesty, the last time that I was in your hometown, we went to eat at Goolsby's, and then we both left, and we went to the grocery store, my wife and family, and then you and Jeff. Difference is, my wife came out with food, and you and Jeff came out with a big screen TV.
I didn't remember that, but Jeff did.
Yeah,
that was
right.
About the time. If you'll remember, we had just renovated, and our little bitty TV just kind of looked lost. He had not bought a TV, what, Jeff, in 10 years maybe?
Yeah.
10 or 11 years, and that's not a typical male thing to do.
No, that's true.
To be that patient and wait.
Yeah.
But he was patient, he waited, and I said, okay, baby. Now, this was my first mistake, guys. I said, okay, baby, you get whatever size you want. Came out of there with this gigantic television that for at this point I'm very grateful for.
Right, exactly. Yeah, I don't know what was bigger on that day, that there was a celebrity sighting of Jeff and Sherry in a Walmart or that Jeff Easter bought a new TV. That's right. That's big doing.
That's it. It is.
Everything falls apart. Praise His name when you have a broken heart. Raise your hands and say, Lord, you're all I need. You're everything to me, and you'll take the pain away. When it seems you're all alone, praise His name. When you feel you can't go on, just raise your hands and say, greater is He that is within me. And you can praise the hurt away. If you'll just praise His name.
Powerful songs, great message in the music, and fun conversation about life. Right now with Jeff and Sherry Easter on Daniel Britt and Friends. Jeff, you're easy to talk to, but I have to know there are a lot of guys that, you know, and women will say this about the men they're married to. He just won't talk. He just won't talk about things I want to talk about. We just don't click there.
Yeah.
When it comes to women and men and having these conversations, I've got a top five list here of what men tune out on. When a woman starts talking about people that the man's never met, or maybe if she has a coworker, he doesn't care anything to talk about that. Or celebrities and reality stars, a lot of times, she wants to talk about that. He doesn't. He'll tune out. Fashion and shopping, that's kind of obvious, I think. And then, of course, other people's relationships. If it's not his relationship, he don't care to talk about it. Do you find this to be true as another guy?
Sounds about right. I'm probably not in that part because I do listen. Most of the time, of course, Sherry will say, I just told you so-and-so. I'm like, oh, well, I didn't know you know, make sure you're looking me in the eyes when you talk to me, because I don't, you know, if I ain't looking at you, I'm multitasking.
That's so right.
Sherry says that sounds like me looking at her, not listening.
Well, my wife said the same thing. Yes. Hello. Is anybody home?
Well, our wheels are spinning all the time. You're a producer. You like, you know what's got, you're thinking one step ahead. Same thing. I woke up this morning at 5:30. I got to get that air regulator fixed on my bus. My air doors on the bus ain't working right. You know, little things like this are going through my mind, and, you know, it's just, but I do agree with that top five is about right on it there.
Oh, I'm telling you, I came, my wife was out the other day. She said, I've got some bean salad and some rice, and we'll eat that for dinner. So when she's walking in the door, I'm heating up the bean salad and the rice. And she walks in, she says, you know what, we had that for lunch. The kids didn't really like it. I'm going to make them a sandwich. So I heat up the bean salad and the rice, and I sit down and start eating it. She says, you didn't listen to a word I said. I said I did, too. She said, why are you eating the rice? You're eating it all gone. I was going to give them some rice along with their sandwich. I didn't hear any of that, you know, so.
Oh, yeah. Well, the best was old Pop Lewis. When I traveled on the road with the Lewis family, Pop, he got him a hearing aid, and that thing, as a new hearing aid, that had a volume control on the outside. He would have selective hearing. When he didn't want to hear what the family was talking about, he'd turn that hearing aid off. And if somebody started talking or gossiping or something, he'd ease that ear. And he hearing aid up. So, oh, yeah. So,
a lot more peaceful in here now. That's right.
Exactly, yeah.
Always love catching up with Jeff and Sherry Easter, Daniel Britt and Friends.
Been there, done that. Nothing to hold on to. I've been there, I've done that, and I ain't ever going back. I walked through salvation's door, and there's nothing worth returning for. I'll never live that life again. No, I'm never going back. No way. I've been there, I've done that. Trusting heart and crush till it breaks. But I have found the shelter of the Father's arms to say, where you could offer me this whole wide world and beg me please to stay. But I'll just smile and wave goodbye, and then you'll hear me say, I've been there, I've done that. And there's nothing worth returning for. I'll never live that life again. No, I'm never going back. No way. I've been there, done that. Been there and done that. And I ain't ever going back. I walked through salvation's door, and there's nothing worth returning for. I'll never live.
Switching gears from Jeff and Sherry Easter, we've talked to Mark Lowry earlier in the show. Let's move to Bill Gaither, who's with us now on Daniel Britt and Friends. Okay, so not every day for Bill Gaither is a video shoot or taping. Not every day is a concert. You have normal days like the rest of us where you just go in the office and you're doing normal, maybe routine things. Andy Andrews, among others, would say that most successful people get their day started off in the mornings with a plan or with a discipline of some kind. So what's shine the light. What is Bill Gaither's morning routine there in Alexandria just on a given day?
Well, you know, in the beginning, I had two choices, let somebody else do the business side of what we're doing or keep my finger in it myself. And so when you've got when you have an organization of 30 or 40, 50 people, I don't do everything myself, but I'm pretty much aware of what is going on. You have to be. When I hear some of these war stories about organizations, I didn't know that was going on. I don't understand that. You know, I don't understand that in any kind of leadership. And somebody says, well, I didn't have a clue that was going on. Well, part of my job is having pretty good feedback from people.
Yeah.
To tell me what is going on. So to do that, I come to the office every day and try and make sure that I know what is going on, if it's going in the right direction, is there attention paid to this? And, you know, and there are various things that are front and center. And when some of those front and centers go by, we say, well, thank God we don't have to spend any more time on that one. But, I mean, it's just daily routine stuff that you have to get done if you're going to get a big train moving down the track, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So most days through the week, I'm coming in and taking care of business-type stuff. Am I a great businessman? I don't know. But I think I'm a pretty good people person, and I've got good people figuring out some stuff that I don't have a clue about. You know what? In studying history, I've come to the conclusion that our presidents in the United States are not always the brightest bulbs in the room, but good presidents do have good, good, smart people around him or her and making it work.
Hear the cries of the shackled from the onset of time. For the chains of defeat, there's no key. See the tears of the broken, the cries of the slaves. Is there no one worthy to set us free? Then the crying is stilled as the chorus rings out. The shackled released from their chains, and thousands of voices are swelling the song.
is with us here from the Gaither Vocal Band on Daniel Britt and Friends. As you travel the country, undoubtedly, you found yourself in an elevator or two. And sometimes, whether it's in a hotel or even in a hospital or something, riding an elevator with someone, it can be, you don't know how much conversation do you have with the person on the elevator. And so we've been asking the question, what do you do to avoid awkward elevator rides? Listen to this caller.
My uncle that raised me, he worked at a hospital. And, of course, he was on the elevator a gazillion times a day. Well, every time he would get on the elevator, someone was on the elevator, he would say, please press 4-8. Well, the building only went 7 floors. So immediately that got either a giggle or some kind of conversation started.
Yeah, character there. There's only 7 floors, and he'd always say, I'm going to the 8th floor. And that, you know, it's a great icebreaker. Do you ever have interesting encounters on elevators, Bill?
Well, first of all, I have thought about publishing a book called Elevator Talk. There is nothing as awkward as getting on an elevator with anybody.
Right.
Especially like if you were on an elevator with a woman, you want to be very careful. And, I mean, you just say, hi, how you doing? A good day, you know. And so to not be rude and not to talk is bad, but to talk too much is also bad. So I said, I think I could write a top-selling book on elevator conversation, because
nice.
I don't care who it is always awkward because it's quiet while you're there.
Uh-huh.
It'd be nice if he had soft music, just some background stuff. But when you get in, you're going to face one direction, that's to the front. I thought it might be fun to go in and just turn your back to the door. And then, now that would make a good conversation. Somebody would say, you have a problem here? But trust me, there is no answer for that one, because elevator talk is awkward because you don't know the person that you're with. You know.
Yeah.
I tell you one thing I don't do on the elevator anymore. When I see a tall guy, quite a tall guy, I don't say, you basketball player, because most of the time they'll say no or something. But one guy said, no, I'm not. You ask every short person if he's a jockey. I said, no, I don't, but I'm not going to ask any more tall guys if they're basketball players.
That's, That's funny. Well, there's none better than the Gaither Vocal Band. More conversation with Bill Gaither still to come. Daniel Britt and Friends.
Shackled by a heavy burden, beneath the load of guilt and shame. Touched me, and now I am no longer the same. He touched me, oh, he touched me. Eternity rolls.
Talking to Bill Gaither here on Daniel Britt and Friends. Thanks for being with us. You and Gloria obviously have three kids, and they're now adults, and you've got grandkids. But what was your feeling on balancing between the role of a parent versus being their friend? Because that's oftentimes a debate that comes up around here, is should parents work to be their child's friend?
Well, I think a little bit of all of that. You know, obviously, now that they're grown, they're probably the best friends we have are our three kids. Love to do stuff with them, love to walk with them. I love to spend time with them. In fact, they were just up this weekend, and it's fun. I'm still in good health, and I can walk with them. They walk farther than I do, but the friendship is nice. But also there are times when, I mean, you're an authority, and somehow to do that without alienating them, but saying no. I think parents and the Bible and gospel songs are one of the best ways to help the next generation put things in perspective.
Yeah.
And say, is this important? Where is this going to lead me? And the only way kids are going to learn is by their peers, by their family, by the Bible. And the reason I spend my time in gospel music, I think, with good gospel songs, to simply say, sometimes there are no answers. Many things about tomorrow I don't seem to understand, but I know who holds tomorrow, and I know who holds my hand. And I think the parent is a teacher, he's a cultivator, he's an enricher of lives, and he's a historical perspective person to help their family get stuff in perspective.
Standing upright on God's good earth, counting my blessings, great things he has done, fighting the good fight with the blessed assurance.
I was traveling recently, just this past week, with my family, and we stopped at a rest stop on the side of the highway, and my little 5-year-old girl needed to go use the restroom, but we noticed there was a payphone, an old payphone. You don't see many payphones these days, but it was still there, looked like it was still in service, and so I just wanted to test my 5-year-old's knowledge. I don't know that she's ever seen one before, but I said, hey, what's that? And she just kind of shrugged, and then I said, no, what is that? And she said, that's a telephone. And I was just impressed. Now, where has my 5-year-old ever seen one before? But it brings up the question, Bill, have you noticed how much has changed since your young adult years, now that you're in your 70s? Are you amazed, like even we are, at the way technology and just the way things change that our kids don't understand?
Certainly. I you know, when I watch older movies and I see the only way of communication is writing a note or a letter, and then you have to depend on the carrier. You know, whether it's a post office or whatever it was.
Yeah.
And you don't get the information sometimes in the old days for 2 or 3 days. And to think that automatically my grandson, who's at the University of Edinburgh in Scotland.
Yeah.
I mean, my daughter was here talking with him, you know, what are you going to do today, son? And just like it, because not even on the cell phone, talking to the computer connection,
right.
Which I don't have any clue about this. But the biggest thing, obviously, has changed. The technology is unbelievable, which has been both good and bad. And so the role of the parent, the role of the teacher is say, how can we use it for good stuff and stay out of the bad stuff?
Yeah. But it's like Tom Friedman, the New York Times, talks about the world is flat. Now, obviously, the world has gotten a lot smaller. And I think that's helped even the gospel. It's helped gospel music get to some far off places that, you know, may have never otherwise heard the music.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So for that, I'm grateful.
Grateful hearts and wonderful conversation today. Mark Lauer kicked things off. Jeff and Sherry Easter also on the show. And finishing up with Bill Gaither. Not a bad hour. Thanks for being here for it. See you next time.
You've been listening to Daniel Britt and Friends. Each week, Daniel brings you exciting music, conversation, and news updates from the world of Southern gospel. You can hear many of the interviews again online at danielbritt.com. Make a date next week for Daniel Britt and Friends.